Welcome to Landmark Ministries. Thank you for joining us today as we prepare our hearts for yet another in-depth look into the Word of God. We hope this message gives you encouragement and brings you closer to the power of Jesus. We're so glad you're here today. God is calling your name. We've been studying through the Bible book by book, learning more and more about God's love and plan for us. Thanks again for being here. Enjoy today's message.
We're in the Sabbath and rest series, aren't we? So good morning, friends and family. It is good to see your faces. Kind of to recap, our first week we looked at Genesis 1 and 2, how for 6 days our Lord created and separated and filled the whole world and everything in it, including mankind. And then he rested on the seventh day. The seventh day he stopped his work, taking special note that everything was good, very good, in fact. And then he filled the whole earth with his glory, kind of like a king fluffing out the train of his robes as he sits down on his royal throne. Along with resting on the seventh day, God dwelled with his creation, enjoying all that he had made, enjoying mankind, enjoying you and me. We also used our imaginations to journey with the Israelites into the desert, where God introduced and instructed these freshly freed slaves in the fine art of resting, something that they were very unfamiliar with. And in fact, in Exodus 20, God commanded that they rest, just like he did, every 7 days, so that they could breathe and be and enjoy God themselves. Last week, so that was 2 weeks ago, last week we rested in God's word by imagining ourselves in the scene where Jesus was telling the parable of the generous landowner. We practiced the spiritual discipline of imaginative prayer, where we used our mind and our hearts and even our bodies to imagine ourselves inside Scripture with the hope and the aim of encountering Jesus, the Lord of Sabbath. And by seeking to encounter and experience Jesus, we practiced Sabbath by enjoying Jesus in real time, by letting him tend and minister our hearts and our lives. Well, we're going to do that again this week. So let us turn this week to Luke chapter 7, if you want, if you've got it on your phone or in your Bibles. Luke chapter 7, we'll be looking at verses 36 to 50. So like last week, I'll read the passage twice, actually slowly. The first time, we'll imagine ourselves hearing it for the first time with fresh ears, fresh minds, and hearts. We'll listen to God's word in a posture of prayer. We'll practice the skill of listening and noticing, of slowing down, of quieting our inner selves just a little bit. And by engaging with Scripture, we engage with Jesus himself and intentionally enter into Sabbath, a resting with God where he enjoys us and where we intend, where we want, we desire to enjoy him. So, Luke 7, I'll read it now. You can follow along in your Bibles or just listen. So, starting in verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked him, this is Jesus, to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed his feet with ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering to him answering him, said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, Say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, and the other 50. When they could not pay, we canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, You have judged rightly. And then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, Your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began saying among themselves, Who is this? Who even forgives sins? And then he said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So that was the first time. The second time that I'll read, I want you to imagine yourself in the story. If you're able, you can close your eyes, get in a comfortable position, and imagine yourself in the story. Like, experience it as if you were there. This may be new for some of us. That's okay. Give it a shot. What do you have to lose? Pay attention to all the smells, especially the ointment. Pay attention to the sounds within the house and the tones of the voices. Everything you might see and feel and even taste. Look at the faces and expressions of the woman, of Simon, that Pharisee, and of Jesus. All right, let's listen a second time. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, Say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which one of them will love him more? Simon answered, The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, You have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So, as we reflect now, pay attention to where you were in the story and how you were feeling. Pay attention to Jesus as well. Was he looking at you? Was he talking to you? Linger here for just a moment. Be part of the scene for just a moment. Now let most of it fade away, leaving just you and Jesus there. Let's wait and see what happens as you and Jesus are together. Notice what's going on between you and Jesus. So this is imaginative prayer. It's slow, isn't it? There's a lot of quiet. How often is there little quiet in our lives? So as we move on from the scene, kind of hold on to that interaction you had with Jesus, whether it was comforting or convicting, whether it was peaceful or strange, that's fine. I encourage you to share with somebody else today how this time went with you and Jesus. That's an invitation. I want to pivot now just a little, still holding on to the interaction that we had with Jesus. And I want to talk about Jesus as being received in this story. And I also want to talk about Sabbath just a little bit. So we engaged our minds and our hearts with a story involving three key people or parties. The first, Simon and the Pharisee and his guests. The second, the woman of the city, this sinner in the story. And then third, Jesus. To Simon's credit, he did invite Jesus into his home and ate with him. This is a big deal, especially since at that time and place in Jewish history, sharing a meal with somebody was a sign that you would associate with them, fellowship with them, that you accepted them. Do you remember in Matthew 9, Mark 2, Luke 5, all the same story, when Jesus had dinner at Matthew's house, eating with tax collectors and sinners? The Pharisees were asking why Jesus was associating with known sinners, with those people. So Simon, being a Pharisee, invites Jesus in and eats with him. This is pretty much where Simon's reception of Jesus ends. We don't know if Simon is seriously considering and curious about Jesus, or if he's looking for, I don't know, some way to maybe discredit him. And then we have this sinner, this woman of the city. She doesn't seem to be invited by Simon, or if she was invited by him, maybe it was she was allowed in to kind of test Jesus. Either way, this sinner covers Jesus' feet with her tears, then cleans them with her hair. She kisses Jesus' feet and anoints his feet with ointment. There's a fabulous 3-minute video. Anyway, there's this awesome 3-minute video on the theme of anointing. It's from the Bible Project. So go click on that. But in summary, real quick, anointing is a mixture of fragrant plants, spices, and water that is poured onto something or someone. And it symbolizes that that object or person is a bridge between heaven and earth, or where heaven and earth are one. We read in Exodus and Leviticus that anointing oil is used on the tabernacle and on all of its instruments, signifying that God's presence dwells in that place. So it's a big deal that the woman of the city anoints Jesus here. She sees Jesus as the Christ, as Messiah, God's promised deliverer. This sinner who, she gets who Jesus is and receives him in with tears and kisses and faith. And mind you, this is right in front of Simon the Pharisee, a professional expert of the law. Jesus is being publicly recognized as God's promised deliverer. And Simon and his guests, they kind of wait to see what's next. Now, let's hold on just for a second and give the Pharisees, Simon in particular, a little bit of grace. Pharisees really did want to please God in every single part of their lives. They had an unbelievable amount of dedication and devotion to the scriptures. They were incredibly disciplined in obeying every single one of God's commands. The Pharisees were seen as the best of the best. They believed that the Messiah, God's deliverer, their rescuer, would come in response to God's people obeying his commands. The Pharisees weren't, though, anticipating the Messiah to be among the sinners, the poor, the helpless, the rejects, the outcasts. They were busy obeying the letter of the law and teaching the fellow Israelites to do the same. And so I want to invite us to give the Pharisees some grace this morning. In part because, well, I see myself and my life and how I interact with God in similar ways. I totally identify with the Pharisee in this scene with Jesus. Reading through this story over and over again in prayer and imagination, God is gently allowing me to see how I leverage my own obedience to gain his favor, to earn his presence. I'm going to share with you a little bit of what's going on between me and God as I have spent time interacting with Jesus in the scriptures. And maybe in me sharing, it'll encourage you to share with others. So I've been sitting in this story and I've been wondering, how often do I invite God into my life, but then I hold him at bay, at arm's length, telling him to just wait a minute while I figure life out on my own? How often do I miss Jesus because I'm completely focused on following the rules, busying myself with proving to him that he should love me and accept me? Yet Jesus is right next to me, and I miss him. I find myself hard at work helping God save me, trying to earn his love and affection because part of me still believes that God's on the fence about me. And that strikes fear into my heart. I am seriously tempted to place faith in my obedience to win God over. And as I'm beginning to freak out, my eyes look down at this woman weeping at Jesus' feet, wiping Jesus' feet with her hair, anointing him. I get the feeling that Jesus is reminding me that, well, he's already come to my house. Jesus, my deliverer, my rescuer, He's already with me. And as I exhale and relax my body a little bit, I'm reminded that all this work that I am doing in trying to get God to love me, to accept me, to enjoy me, this too is the kind of work that God commands me to stop on the Sabbath. On Sabbath, God tells me I am to stop any and every single self-salvation project that I've constructed long enough to receive Jesus. In all my doubts, in all my failures, in all my fears, like the woman in the story. On Sabbath, I'm reminded and I'm invited to once again relocate faith away from trusting in myself to place it back onto Jesus. No wonder Sabbath is designed to be a regular and an ongoing part of my life. I love how Jesus interacts with the woman. She doesn't worry about the other guests in the house. She doesn't care about cleaning herself up. She comes to Jesus a blubbering, snotty, weeping mess. And how does Jesus respond? With every single eye fixed on her, Jesus receives and publicly honors her. He says, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Jesus gives her rest. She's found. She's known and loved by her Creator. This woman of the city, once a sinner, is now declared a beloved child of God. She's restored. Sabbath is an invitation to approach and receive Jesus. Sabbath is also a time to be received and restored by Jesus. Sabbath is an invitation to allow yourself to be enjoyed by your Creator, to be seen, to be known, and to be loved by the one who enjoys you, who already enjoys you. Sabbath is an invitation to stop trying to get God to love you and to remind yourself that He already thinks the world of you. Sabbath is an invitation to look long and hard at the face of Jesus and to find that He is already looking at you, delighted that you are looking back at Him. Would you pray with me? Lord, You seem too good to be true. You don't make sense to me. I mean, I know You're loving and that You're generous, but You enjoy me? You enjoy me when I can't lift myself up by my own bootstraps? And You love me as I'm trying to lift myself up to please You? You love me regardless? You love it when I come to You in honesty and in my mess? And in fact, You look at me in the face and You say, "Your faith has healed you. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Lord, it amazes me. It amazes me every week. It amazes me every day that I sit and I ponder. And so, Lord, as we wonder what Sabbath looks like for our lives, we thank You that You are good and that we can rest in You. It's in Your name, Jesus. Amen.